1 week's time, the prophecy will be fulfilled.
A tyrant who enslaved a nation.
He will destroy us one by one.
Tomorrow my victory is complete.
A warrior. Who would become their only hope.
I know the prophecy. I have seen it.
They are the last of their kind. Skilled assassins. Trained for generations in the deadly art.
Will you stand alone before the fury of his armies?
Yes.
Take a breath. Take a dozen of your best men. Track him down. Kill him.
Movie fans, wrestling fans, episode 3 of From the Square to the Silver Screen. I'm your co-host, Cowboy, joined by my main man, my brother from another mother, Logan. How you doing, Logan?
I'm doing great, Roger. How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. It's been a long day, been a long month, really, since the last show, but I'm hanging in there, trying to remain positive. How about you?
Yeah, I was just saying, we've had a few storms down here, so I'm just trying to stay safe through all the craziness and all the tornadoes and crazy thunderstorms and stuff we've had lately. So just trying to make it through.
So my wife works for an insurance company, so I've heard all about the weather that you've had. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that you've stayed safe, Logan, and I'm happy that your Wi-Fi is still connected so we can do this.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. So, yeah, I'm glad we can be here tonight to do this as well.
Absolutely. So, we've been taking a little heat, Logan, from our friends. You know, it's literally our third episode. So, we've done 2 episodes. This is number 3. And the number of complaints from our listeners outnumber the episodes by about 12. We asked you guys to do this. Well, they said they want suggestions, and then they don't use the suggestions. Listen, we're new, okay? We're new. We're just kind of feeling our way around here, and we'll get to your suggestions if we feel like it, frankly. We have creative control of this show. And with that said, for our next episode, we're considering a suggestion from our listeners. We do appreciate 99% of our listeners and their opinions, so... we have a suggestion we're considering, and we're going to consider it, and there's a good chance we'll do it. For this show, we went with something, you know, we kind of went off the cuff. If you'll notice a theme, right, that we're kind of doing the biggest stars because we're a brand new show, and, you know, I feel like the movies that we're doing are kind of like, these are the movies you have to do with wrestlers crossing over to Hollywood. So we did No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan. We did The Marine, starring John Cena. And Logan, if you were going to say, okay, if those are two of your biggest stars, who would be maybe your next crossover star that maybe we should do?
Oh, you got to go with The Rock. I mean, The Rock's the biggest movie star in the world, so we definitely have to go there for sure.
You got to go with The Rock. But then, in the spirit of the show, in the spirit of From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, similar to Hogan and similar to Cena, we did The Rock's first real movie, where maybe he didn't have that acting experience that's made him one of the biggest stars in the world yet. And maybe there were some holes in his game, but this was truly his leap from Squared Circle to the Silver Screen. And of course, I am talking about the classic film, 2002, The Scorpion King. So I know everybody's excited to hear our thoughts on The Scorpion King. kind of a tepid box office for the Scorpion King, which has been a running theme for our Squared Circle to the Silver Screen movies. Mm-hmm. Reviews, also tepid. Middling, again, a running theme. But our thoughts on this, you know, like, as wrestling fans, right, and as free thinkers, we're not always going to agree with the pack. So, you know, maybe one of us thought that this should have won Best Picture that year. Maybe this was the beginning of The Rock's Oscar run for 2002. I don't know. So, Logan, on that note, we are going to review The Scorpion King. For those who haven't seen it or who haven't seen it in a long time, I would suggest going back and watching it. It's, you know, not a great film by any measure, but definitely a kind of a fun watch. And you can see kind of how technology's improved over the last 18, 19 years. Some of the CGI feels a little dated. And you get to see really The Rock just kind of figuring out how to act. So, Logan, give me your high-level thoughts, please, on the movie, on The Rock, just kind of in general.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is The Rock's first big main role, so he's obviously a little bit, this isn't his comfortable ground yet. I mean, he's still kind of comfortable being the wrestler, being in the ring. That's kind of his home at this point. So this is just him kind of trying to branch out and see what's on the other side, kind of see if he can break out into this and make a big, you know, big leap into Hollywood and kind of, you know, build his wrestling career from here and kind of go into Hollywood and do movies. I didn't love it, but I did like it a lot. I liked a lot of the action scenes, like the fighting itself. Some of the selling of the fights was a little over the top. In like the first scene of the movie, he goes into like a hut to save his brother, and he hits a guy, and he just flies straight out of the roof, and you could tell he's like being pulled up on cords and just thrown out. So some of the selling of the fighting was a little bit matrixy, I guess is the best way to put it. Just kind of, you could tell that they were kind of flying through the air and stuff like that. But I was a big fan of kind of the fighting scenes of it all. You could kind of tell that this was one of Rock's first movies, because anytime he was in a fight, you could tell that he was like trying to have a fight in the wrestling ring. It seemed like he was kind of trying to sell everything like he would, like when he was in the ring and being, you know, WWE champion and all that, and, you know, fighting Stone Cold and all those guys. But I thought it was a pretty good movie. I think it's definitely the worst one we've watched yet, for sure.
High praise right there, Logan.
I mean, I would watch it again, but I think it's definitely on the lower end of stuff we might watch at the beginning. At least it might get a little bit worse as we go on. But I thought the villain, he was kind of blasé. There wasn't really much to him. He was like, he's the king because he's the greatest fighter in that area of the world. So they consider him the king because he can fight better than anybody else.
But he's got the sorceress, right?
He has the sorceress named Cassandra, and she was a really good character. I liked her a lot. And another reason this movie made me mad is because she was naked way too much to not have seen at least one boob. So that bothered
me. NC-17 rating on this show.
Oh, come on! I mean, you got to see one at least. I'm just playing.
I think it was strategic, right? Did the movie get a PG-13 rating? I believe it did.
Yeah, I think it did. So it was probably kind of strategic that they kind of played with you like that. Michael Clark Duncan's in this. He plays a character named Balthazar. I thought his character was really strong. He kind of leads one of the tribes that's kind of going to try to take over Memnon, who's the main bad guy. So I thought his character was pretty strong. And that's kind of a bigger actor to be in one of these kind of WWE films. Like I said, it's a good movie. I would watch it again, but I think it's definitely on the lower tier of what we watched so far. So what do you think about it?
I thought similar thoughts, Logan. It was real hokey. Like, and I think some of the special effects were probably like at least a little bit more impressive back in 2002. So they kind of did, the movie didn't have that going for it. Like, it wasn't like a top of the line technological movie in any way, watching it now in 2021. So I thought they did a pretty good job considering, like, the genesis of the character was that ridiculous CGI in The Mummy Returns, where The Rock was, you know, he wasn't in the movie that much, and for, you know, the fight, the scene there, he was half Rock, half Scorpion, and it looked, I mean, he looked more like a lobster. It was, like, really ridiculous. So I thought they did a pretty good job building a backstory. This was set quite a bit before then. And I had texted this to you, and I think the comparison makes sense, right? Rock and Schwarzenegger have it's kind of similar career paths, right? Where they went from you know, some type of physical sport to acting and became huge stars. And Conan was really Schwarzenegger's first big role. And I think that's kind of what they were going for here with Rock, was for this to be Rock's Conan, where, I mean, he wasn't asked to do a whole lot in the acting department. It was mostly have, you know, funky line here or there, funny line, and, you know, then look real good in the fight scenes. And for the most part, I think he did that. I think he showed glimpses of what he would become. I mean, he's got, it definitely has a major screen presence. And overall, decent movie. I would agree with you that it was my least favorite of the three. I think in a vacuum, like if you take out biases, it's probably a better movie than No Holds Barred. But that holds such nostalgic value. And then to your point, the villain in this movie, like, super sucks. Super sucks. And Brill was a really good villain. So I think that kind of does it for me there. So one of the interesting things in the movie, you're younger. You remember the movie Can't Hardly Wait?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So Peter Facinelli, who plays one of the warriors, he's the guy who he's like a block, you know, like low rent Eric Bana, the guy who kind of looks like Eric Bana, but isn't Eric Bana.
That's
Peter Facinelli. And he played Mike Dexter in Can't Hardly Wait, who was like this super jock douchebag in that movie. So that was good. It was kind of a movie of sort of, hey, there's that guy. Another one was the guy from Gladiator. So he was the big gladiator from Gladiator had a role in this movie. Michael Clark Duncan, as you mentioned, had a role in this movie. And Kelly Hu.
Yeah, she played the sorceress Cassandra. Yeah, she was really good. I liked her in her role for sure. But yeah, like you were saying, the villain in this one was just I wanted him to be really cool, and I think the fact that he could fight really well with the swords and all that, but he kind of, I don't know, his death at the end is kind of, you know, like he completely stopped that earlier in the movie. Like at one point he catches a arrow in between his hands as it's about to like penetrate him. And like somehow at the end, he can't do that just because the Rock can shoot the arrow a little bit better than the other guy. So he just was kind of blasé to me, but everybody else I thought played a really good part. And you know, like the Rock was good in it, but like I said, you could tell it was kind of one of his first films that he was in, that like he was still trying to get used to doing fights where he's not in the ring and can kind of no-sell stuff a little bit more than he does there.
For sure. You know, I'm trying to put my finger on what it was about the villain. And I felt like he just kind of came off like a pussy. Like he was a guy, like, you know, they said he could fight. Like, was there ever a doubt in your mind, like, with him and The Rock on the screen that The Rock was going to kick his ass?
Oh, hell no.
You know what I mean? Like if you're going to put a villain opposite The Rock, you can't. But the guy was kind of a pretty boy, you know? You need again, if we think about No Holds Barred, right? You think about No Holds Barred, Zeus matches up well to Hogan in that role. Or you have a Brill or Robert Patrick type villain from The Marine where the guy's just like an asshole and is like a really good asshole. This guy was like neither, not intimidating, and also like kind of zero personality, and just nothing. He just didn't do it for me. I think he almost ruined the movie single-handedly.
Yeah, I would say he just wasn't very compelling, and I just like you said, I never really believed that, like. You know, if they could have at least just shown him, like, fighting a little bit more than, like, they showed him at the beginning, but, like, a little bit throughout the movie. And I know they showed, like, training sessions, but he's obviously going against people that are, like, way below him in that arena, you know. But I would just have liked to have seen him be a little bit more active, because he just kind of sits around for a lot of the movie being like, oh, yeah, I'm this great fighter. And then The Rock comes in and pretty much beats him fairly easily, I'd say. I mean, they have a little bit of a back and forth, but he kind of hides behind some fire and stuff like that at certain points. So he wasn't what he needed to be up against The Rock. He needed to be kind of a bigger guy that could be like physically imposing to a guy like The Rock. Cause The Rock wasn't as big as he is now, but he's still a pretty big guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you think about like how quickly the Sorceress was just like, I'm going with The Rock. Like, there was hardly any build, you know? And, I mean, she seemed to have it pretty good with this with the asshole there, right? And it was just like, I'm going with The Rock. And that was that.
Yeah, I was going to say, he just kind of takes her out of the palace. And then, like, you know, they have, like, one conversation. And she's just like, okay, cool, I'll stay with him. She was just going to run away wherever she wanted to. But like they have that one like heart to heart, and she's like, oh yeah, I think I'll hang out with him. I think I may, you know, I may bang him later, but I'll just hang out with him for now, you know.
Absolutely. And I thought, I agree with you. I thought she was really good in the role. She was probably the best pure, you know, she gave the best pure acting performance. Mm-hmm. And then to your point, the way she was able to manage that wardrobe was,
oh yeah,
just incredible. I mean, 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Very good looking, for sure.
All right, Logan, your favorite scene in the movie?
My favorite scene is kind of in the little camp when Michael Clark Duncan's character and The Rock fight. I thought that fight was really compelling. I've gone with the fight forever, the best scene every time, somehow. But we're watching action movies for the most part, so I guess that's just kind of what it's going to be. But I thought that was really good, and they kind of went back and forth. And honestly, Michael Clark Duncan's character Balthazar was more of a of a threat to The Rock's character than anything. So I really enjoyed that one. And they even did like a slam through the table during that, so they kind of did a callback to WWE. So I like that a lot.
That was a great scene. Yeah, for me, it was when, you might even have this as the worst scene, but I kind of like stuff like this. So it was when The Rock got dropped into the harem accidentally.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually, the fighting scenes were all really good, but the way he acted in that scene, I think that's where you got the biggest glimpse. I think what makes The Rock so appealing is he's this huge guy, right? This big jack dude that can kick everyone's ass. But he's always kind of like almost in on the joke with himself. And he's a very funny, disarming guy, right? And I think he kind of showed that in that scene. I thought that was, while the scene itself was hokey, I thought it was my favorite. It was my favorite scene of the movie. I thought it demonstrated what little range he had in his acting game at that time.
I enjoyed that one for sure. That won't be my worst scene. Don't worry about it. No, I enjoyed that one for sure. And just the absurdness with the gong rolling it around and blocking all the arrows and stuff like that.
Fantastic, right?
I definitely enjoyed that part for sure.
All right, Logan. Least favorite scene. I know there's a number to choose from here.
I'm going to go there's a part at the end where him and Cassandra are kind of just talking after Michael Clark Duncan and his tribe kind of leave, and they're kind of flirting with each other, and he eventually does the people's eyebrow, and I was just like, oh man, that's so bad. I was about to say that almost ruined the whole movie for me, but he just, I mean, I know he's The Rock, but like doing that in the movie is just ridiculous. I don't know. It just it.
You don't think it's like, you don't think that's like a little call to the wrestling fans? Like, hey, yeah, I'm still like, doesn't that kind of go to him not taking himself too seriously, or do you think that's too over the top?
Yeah, that's just a little too corny for me. I don't know. I mean, I guess I get it. It's kind of a callback, and, you know, people can be like, ooh, he just did the people's eyebrow, but I don't know. It just came off as corny to me. I don't know. What do you think the worst scene was?
Man, it's like all these movies, like anything that's like sort of like a love scene.
Yeah.
Just don't do it for me. Like, I think it's because these guys can't act for shit yet, but like we're 3 for 3, because I thought... Like, I actually thought him and Kelly Hu had some chemistry, like, except for any, like, intimacy, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, it always just, like, it felt this way in The Marine, and it felt this way in The Whole Spartan. It, like, feels like that stuff's, like, almost forced, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. We've kind of struck out with, you know, good couples in these movies. But, like you said, I think Kelly Hu and The Rock had some chemistry. But it didn't communicate on the screen when it comes to like them being intimate with each other. It something about it just was off for some reason. And it's been that way in both movies that we've seen so far, for sure.
Yeah, and all the movies, right? Like, it's like they didn't really have to do it, you know? Like it's almost like it was like this obligatory, oh yeah, this has to happen. When it really doesn't, like if it, you know, that there wasn't like a that's wasn't like a central part of a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Marine was the closest one to it being a central part of the story. No Holds Barred takes the cake for like worst love scenes like in the history of Hollywood. but like, because there's like no point to it, and then this same kind of deal, like. The Rock is, even though he ends out in the Mummy being a kind of a I don't want to say heel, but being a bad guy, right? The Scorpion King's not a good guy. At this point, he is the hero of this movie. He's the face. So, like, isn't that enough of a reason for the Sorceress to switch allegiances and help him? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was gonna say definitely, and I don't know. Especially with Hogan and Cena, like, those two guys are such, like, kid-friendly baby faces in wrestling that, like, you don't want to see them have sex. Like, they're badass, cool dudes. You don't, like, I mean, little kids don't want to, you know, little kids don't know what that kind of stuff is. So, like, they don't want to see them, like, making out and stuff like that. So, I guess The Rock's a little bit more, he was in the Attitude Era, so it was a little bit more okay then, I guess. But, yeah, nobody wants to see Hogan or Cena kind of be in like a sexual situation, because they're just like, they're like the most pure baby faces in wrestling history. So like nobody wants to see that. But yeah, I definitely agree that we've kind of struck out on the couples so far.
But even The Rock, for someone in the Attitude Era, mm-hmm. never really was like. You know, he didn't have like the Edge Lita thing in the ring, right? Like in the bed or whatever. So, you know, that was never really his thing. So, I mean, as much as someone who was a huge star in the Attitude Era could be, he's definitely closer to that Cena Hogan than he is to, you know, Tori Wilson.
Yeah, or any of the people that pose for Playboy. Yeah, I get, you're definitely right. He's definitely more kind of like in that era. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's just a little bit cooler than Cena and Hogan are. So.
He's infinitely cooler.
Yeah.
He is just that, like, I think you can see it here that he will, like, he grows into being a much better actor than those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and you can see the potential here, which is probably why he got more roles, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think he did enough in this movie to kind of get the eye of Hollywood. Like, maybe this guy's a little bit more than a wrestler. Like, maybe he can be the next big star. I think he has so much more charisma than anybody that's ever been in the wrestling business. Like, he's like so far above everybody else in that department. So, I mean, it's just like there's something about him. He's just a good. I mean, I think he's a good guy. And he's so charismatic that, like, you can't help but like him, even if, you know, you might not be a wrestling fan. He's just such a good dude, and it just seems like he's always having fun and, you know, all the other kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, he is. Do you know anyone that's like, oh, fuck The Rock, I don't like The Rock? I, like, don't know anybody who like, just dislikes The Rock.
Jennifer Smith hates The Rock, 100%.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that's a bad take. Really?
Nope. And, well, Sean Kidd doesn't not like him, but he's not, like, as huge a fan of as everybody else is. But Jenny definitely hates him.
Yeah, I can see not be. I can see, like, I don't love the guy. I'm not a huge fan. But how can you dislike The Rock? Like, sure. I mean, that's like the ultimate contrarian point of view there. I take shit for thinking Daniel Bryan sucks. And she doesn't like The Rock.
She doesn't. I promise. She'll tell you Logan. Herself.
We should have her on. We should have her on and watch, like, Walking Tall, and just get her thoughts. Because I just it's like, what's there not to like?
I don't know.
He's like smug? I mean, I guess he could think he's like a little full of himself, but I think even that he pulls off real well.
Yeah, I really don't know. Yeah, I was like, even when he plays like a dick, I think he's pretty good at it. So, but yeah, I think she just saw his movies at first and didn't like him, and like she's seen him in wrestling now and like equally doesn't like him. You know, I think she thinks she knows how much of a star he is, but like I just don't think she likes his movies or, you know, likes him in WWE or anything like that. So I don't know, but like she's the only person I know really that doesn't like him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Everybody's entitled to their opinion, no matter how wrong it is, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so the next thing we usually talk about is song or musical sequence. Not a lot of that going on here, so we could, unless you got one, we could skip that one.
No. The fact that they had I Stand Alone by Godsmack at the in the credits, I thought that was pretty apparent of the wrestling time then, because that was kind of the type of music that they played at like pay-per-views and stuff like that. So you could definitely tell that their musical influence was in the credits, at least.
Absolutely, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. So could it work today? So this movie is 19 years old, which makes me feel like I'm 119 years old. And so it's an interesting thing, right? Do they really make movies like this now? It seems like any big blockbuster, for the most part, is a comic book movie at this point, right? And yeah. This is a spin-off of a non-comic book franchise. Mm-hmm. Of a character that had about a 10-minute scene, right, in the Mummy Returns.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think that this works today? And I guess, I mean, you could say Jason Momoa kind of did it, I guess, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, that you know, they tried to reboot the Mummy franchise, like, four or five years ago. It might not even have been that long, with Tom Cruise, and it was just a colossal failure. I know that that's not exactly this movie to a T, but it's connected somewhat, at least. I mean, they've made like four sequels to this movie. None of them have been in theaters or anything like that, but they've made one where like Randy Couture is Scorpion King.
The natural couture. That man can act.
Hey, he's pretty good in The Expendables. I'm just playing. I'm going to say no for the first time, just because I think that, like, I think the Mummy franchise has such a bad rap on it now. So if it's even anywhere connected with that, I don't know that it could work. Because I think the Mummy franchise has such a bad rap at this point. I think the movies that they made back in the day were, you know, got worse and worse as they went. And I think that last one was just such a bad movie, and it got so critically panned that I don't know if anything that's like even somewhat connected to that would work in this day, but what do you think?
Yeah, so we talk about the Mummy franchise. So I thought what was good about the Mummy franchise back in the late 90s with Brendan Fraser was kind of the way they did it, right? It was similar to this movie in that they didn't take themselves 100% seriously, mm-hmm. right? It was a little bit hokey. It was a little bit of a callback, I think, to, you know, to some of those movies in like the 50s. And I thought they did a really nice job with them. To your point, the Tom Cruise movie was a total disaster. But with that said, I think if that would have come out like in 2002, it would have probably done real well. I think it's just that for our popcorn kind of stories like this, which in essence, it's a superhero story, right? You have a hero.
Mm-hmm.
That is so dominated now by like the Marvel and the DC stuff that I don't know that something like this could get greenlit unless it was like Falcon and the Scorpion King.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. Like I just don't think it would make any money, and I don't think they could really get any star power to do it, which is kind of a shame, because I think like you can say what you want about this movie, but the concept it's like an original character, right? It's not, I mean, at least I think it is. And if I'm wrong about that, I'm sure some nerd will tell me. But I believe that it's an original character that was made up in the Mummy movies. And we don't really have that much now. You know, it's all, I mean, and I'm a huge fan of the Marvel Universe. I love those movies. Yeah. But we've had, what, 9-ish different Spider-Man movies? 3 different Spider-Man ones, all different, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like we just keep doing the same stuff over and over and over again, and this wasn't original. So it makes me sad that I don't think it would be a success today. But I agree with you that I don't think they could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the concept of, like, being in the desert and kind of being back in the ancient times in the Egyptian, I think I maybe just not connecting it with the Mummy franchise at all. I think maybe you could make a movie and make it compelling and, you know, cast like a Jason Momoa or something like that, because he's a big star. But yeah, I think people would connect it with kind of that franchise, and I think it just has such a bad rap at this point that I don't know that it could work. But like, I guess the concept of kind of going through the desert and being this great warrior, but like you said, they're making a lot of remakes now, and most everything that's like a big deal is a superhero movie. So I mean, it's gotten to the point where you're really just going for like, and they're may remaking like the King Kong versus Godzilla movies. Like, you're
that
going
does
for
look
like
pretty awesome though.
Yeah, it does. It does for sure. But I mean, you're going for like monsters going up against monsters and stuff like that. And then there's always a new superhero movie. So yeah, that's just kind of the times of what we're looking at. But yeah, I think it's just, it's connection with that franchise just has it sunk at this point, just because I think that last one was so bad.
Yeah, and you think about, like, what's the absolute best version of that genre, right, that you're talking about, the desert genre? I think it's got to be, and I don't know if there's any wrestlers in this, because I would love to review it, but Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, that would probably be kind of, yeah, like the desolate wasteland kind of area where they could, yeah, kind of battle each other, but yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
I have, but it's been a while.
great movie. You should watch it again, Logan.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Really, really good. Really good. But so that's about it. That's like a best case scenario for a movie like this. That was a big hit. It was a great movie. I mean, just a phenomenal movie. No holes in it, in my opinion. And but again, it had that Mad Max name attached to it. Now, how much weight that name carries now, I don't know. But it carries some.
Yeah, and Disney kind of did kind of this kind of concept with John Carter, I think.
Oh,
that was,
man.
10 or so years ago, but that was like the most colossal, like,
bust. Just yeah, a giant bust. That had the kid from Friday Night Lights in it, right?
Yeah. Tim Riggins, Taylor Kitsch, I think his name is. Yep. And yeah, that completely like sunk his career. So I think even you could go to that and say that like that's kind of in. I mean, I think that was more like outer spacey kind of stuff. I think they were on like Mars and shit. But like, I think even that, like a warrior kind of going up against some, you know, a big army of people. But like that was such a colossal failure. Like, I think that kind of fits in this mold. So maybe it is just a bad concept. I don't really know.
That movie was awful.
I never saw it, but I know how bad it got panned.
I like Taylor Kitsch, though.
So yeah, he was really good in Friday Night Lights for sure.
And then you know, call me an asshole, but I liked Battleship. I don't think a lot of people did, but I liked Battleship, and I really liked. I don't know if you've seen the movie Savages.
I haven't.
With him and Benicio del Toro and Blake Lively. So him and his buddy are, I don't want to give away the spoiler alert, but him and his buddy are two like big weed growers in California. And they're both, they like live with Blake Lively and they like both date her at the same time. And it's like, cool. And then Benicio del Toro is part of the cartel and really, really good flick. You should watch that one too, Logan. You should watch that before you watch Mad Max Fury Road again.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I'll definitely check both of those out for sure.
Yeah, Savages, good flick. But yeah, I just don't think... I don't think they could do it. I think they could do a straight-to-video kind of deal, but I don't see a wide theatrical release for Scorpion thing. Scorpion King 2000.
Yeah, I was saying it might have to be the Scorpion thing at this point.
That would be from Squared Circle to the Silver Screen After Dark.
That's funny.
So we don't think it could work today. Now, let's put that conversation aside, Logan, and say, let's assume it would work today. And we were again harassed by some of our fan base for how we recast the Marine. And I'll reiterate kind of what I said at the top, which is, you know, it's our show and we're just going to do what we want. So please enjoy it. just kidding. So I think the feedback we got was when we recast, we said you could have anybody in it. And then we picked people who were like not as big as stars. So I'm not going to put any qualifiers on it this time. Recast the Scorp. Go ahead. I'm sorry, my friend.
No, you're fine. My thing is like my original thought on this show is we were going to try and use like current day wrestlers to kind of try and make it today because we have a wrestler in here now. So we're going to put another wrestler in here later. But I think our fans are kind of going more towards like we should cast another celebrity, like another actor, not necessarily another wrestler. So I think what we should do with this category from now on is we cast a actor and we pick a wrestler so we can kind of do the best of both worlds.
Perfect.
So maybe we can kind of appease the same people, but I can kind of stick to the original thought that I had for this category at the same time. So
yeah, I think that's perfect. And in all seriousness, we joke around. We do appreciate the feedback and we appreciate
absolutely.
It. And we are happy that anybody listens. It's a new show for us. We really enjoy doing it. And so it's all in good fun. So Logan, we're going to do a wrestler and a regular actor for the Scorpion King.
All right. So I think,
why don't we do wrestler, you do your wrestler, then I'll do mine. And then actor.
Okay.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, let's do it the other way around. I kind of have to think about the wrestler. The obvious choice for actor would be Jason Momoa. He's just such a, you know, he's a brick shit house. He's a big old motherfucker. And, you know, I think he could play this role of kind of the, you know, Egyptian kind of warrior guy that can take over this whole tribe and, you know, kind of avenge the kingdom that the big bad guy rules over. So I think Jason Momoa is definitely the actor that I would go with. What about you?
So, I mean, that's like the obvious yeah. choice, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would say the same thing. I think if you cast it today and I could pick just anybody, I would go with Aquaman. I think he I mean, he's kind of a similar build to The Rock as well, and definitely is intimidating. Has kind of some of that same stuff as The Rock with the doesn't always take himself too seriously. So that's who I'm going with as well.
I gotcha. Somebody just popped into my mind as a wrestler, but the guy that used to be Rusev in WWE, he's Miro in AEW now, but I think I would go with him. He's just another one of those guys that's a big beast kind of guy, and I could see him wrecking up shop in some places. He might not have the charisma to be like the main character, but I would like to see him kind of cut it up and beat up some people in this movie, and you know, really give it to some guys. But what do you think wrestler wise?
So I like the Rusev call. I have trouble seeing him as like being like likable though. Like that's like the thing that's, you know, he's like a great like asshole. You know what I mean? But he would be great in the fight scenes. Definitely has the look. Reigns is the obvious one, so we just want to see him. What about Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, I could see him wrecking up shop up in the deserts over there.
Like I think you do it where it is. You set it the exact same way. Like it's in ancient Egypt. It's 2,000 years before the pyramids, and he just doesn't change his Scottish accent at all. He just talks like he's in the fucking pub in Scotland through the whole movie. And just like no sell, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I could definitely see that. Another guy that came to mind was the only problem with him is he's kind of lanky and he's not like a big jack dude, but he's really tall. And he's got like an archer gimmick right now. But Damian Priest was somebody else that came to mind because you know he kind of has the Archer of Infamy gimmick right now. So just the fact that the Rock kind of had a bow and arrow and all that kind of stuff, I could kind of see a guy like him doing it. But he's kind of lanky and you know kind of gangly. So I don't know if I could take him seriously as like the lead role. But the
I think he could. He's got the attitude. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely do it from that, for sure. Mm.
And he's not like that small. Like, I mean, The Rock's huge, but you could.
Yeah.
You could find guys that would make Damian Priest look pretty big. You know, just to put next to him.
Yeah, I was saying, I think he could probably play a little bit better of a villain in that kind of movie for sure. I think he's kind of smarmy and kind of a dick deep down. So I could see him kind of playing a villain or like a sidekick villain kind of character. But yeah, the wrestler on this one was hard just because The Rock is so, you know, The Rock's The Rock. So, I mean, and like you said, Roman Reigns could probably be the answer in all of these recasting if you used a wrestler. So I've tried to think outside the box. I went with him in the first episode just because I think he's probably the one of the more likable kind of guys. And I think he could probably, you know, wreck shop with Zeus in that movie. But I'll go with Damian Priest. I'll kick Rusev to the side because Rusev's probably like a good sidekick. He could probably be Michael Clark Duncan's character, but I'll go with Damian Priest, I guess.
I like it. So what about MJF as the bad guy?
Oh yeah, I love it. That would be awesome.
He would be like I think he would do a better job than the guy in this movie. Like right now. Like I don't think he's ever acted in anything before, right?
No, I don't think so. He was like a child talent star or whatever, but he's
Was he really?
Yeah, he like was on He was on some talk show when he was a little kid and he sang and it was like amazing, but he was only like 4 or 5 years old. So, but yeah, he wasn't like an actor's child star, but he was on like a bunch of talk shows and stuff like that. He could sing really well, I think is what it was.
Man, Logan, I could just talk to you. I learned so much. I never knew that. So I think he would be a phenomenal villain.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's probably like the best heel that there's been in wrestling in a long time. So yeah, he's a super smarmy prick, and he could definitely play that role really well.
So how about this, right? You do the Scorpion King with Jon Moxley as the Scorpion King, right?
Scott Griscolo's not gonna watch.
And then at the end, it's like the whole pyramid's gonna come down, and he ducks his head, but then just nothing happens. But he acts like the whole pyramid going down. How would that be?
I think that could work.
Where have I seen that before, Logan?
I don't know. Maybe in an AEW ring. I don't know.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff for sure.
So, kind of just to put a bow on it, I found this to be a useful watch. And I think if you are someone who's going to be watching wrestlers in movies, I think it's an important one because it's The Rock's first leading role. It was a watchable movie, mm-hmm. but certainly, especially much more so than our first two movies, there's a lot of other stuff in The Rock's catalog that is much, mm-hmm. much better than The Scorpion King.
Yeah, but I like you were kind of saying, I think it helps you appreciate how much better he's gotten because, you know, he's not bad in this movie per se, but, you know, you can just kind of tell that he's a rookie and he's not used to it and it's not like his comfortable space yet, but he'll get there. But it was kind of good to watch this one first so we can kind of go in later and we can see how much he's really improved.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good point, Logan. If we really wanted to, we could kind of just go on a run here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jumanji.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's what we're going to do, though. We've been trying to mix it up.
Yeah, I think
we're going to do a Batista movie next, right, Logan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. I think one of our listeners suggested Stuber with him and Kumail Nanjiani. So I think we might do that one next. I think Scott Shiflett sent that one to us. So
yeah, and I think and D'Amato as well, Mr.
Yeah, D'Amato. Yeah, D'Amato stepped up for it too, for sure. Yeah.
So when you get two requests from two great guys like that, I think that's what we got to do. And I actually haven't seen Stuber, which is interesting since I've been I'm a big Batista guy.
Yeah, I was like, you're a huge Batista mark. How have you not seen that movie? I'm just playing.
It's good. You're right. It's odd. Like I find myself, I watch a lot of sports. And then, I don't know if this is like an old guy thing, Logan, but when I do watch movies and stuff, I tend to watch movies that are 20 years old that I've already seen, you know?
So yeah.
I'll be like, I feel like watching a movie. Let's watch The Town for the 100th time, you know, versus Stuber. I'm working.
Yeah. I was just saying, my family growing up, we watched, you know, any Jim Carrey or Adam Sandler movie that came on, it was automatically, if it was on, we flipped it over and watched, you know, like The Mask and Liar Liar and Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
I fucking watched Happy Gilmore like 3 nights ago. It came on. It came on right at the beginning. I was like, and then I just watched the whole thing.
So I'll like be looking through Hulu at all the great new movies that are out and I'll just flip by them and I'm like, oh yeah, Happy Gilmore. I've seen it 100 times. Here we go. 101. Here we go.
Same thing. So it's not just me, Logan.
It's a timeless thing. Yeah. My family's always been that way. Like you know, people make fun of me cause I haven't seen a ton of like really good movies. Me and JT are kind of the same in that way. It was just because me and my family, we watched like the same, you know, 20, 25 movies growing up. And like, we really just didn't branch out unless it was like brand new. And it was usually probably like a animated movie cause I was a kid, you know? So, I need to expand my horizons for sure. And like this podcast is helping me do that cause I'd never seen No Holds Barred and I had actually never seen this before. So. I'm glad that I'm getting to watch some of these movies for sure.
Have you seen Stuber?
I have not seen Stuber either.
Perfect. We're both coming in. We're both. This will be the first one where we're both virgins.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking Stuber. Forward to it. because I was kind of sketchy on Batista when he was in Guardians of the Galaxy, but like I've said on other pods before, like he's the best part of that movie to me. So. He really surprised me with how good of an actor he ended up being. So I'm looking forward to it because Kumail Nanjiani's a really funny guy too.
Yeah, though Batista's awesome.
Oh, definitely.
Just across the board. I couldn't make it to WrestleMania this year, and he must have heard because he decided not this year for the Hall of Fame. So yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you very much, Logan. That's what I think as well. So, great show, Logan. Do you have any closing thoughts on The Scorpion King before you tell everybody about all the other great content we have here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network?
Like I was saying before we kind of got off on the Batista stuff, like, it's a good movie for sure. I would go and watch it if you've never seen it before. It's one of those that, like I've said 100 times on this podcast so far in the 50-something minutes we've been recording, but you could tell that it's kind of The Rock's, like, first kind of movie, and that you can tell he's kind of new to it in certain aspects if you really pay attention, or kind of, you know, not where they need to be, but, like, if you can watch this movie and enjoy it, I think you can go from here and watch some of his later movies and really appreciate how far he's kind of come. But I'll tell everybody about the other stuff that they can hear on the North-South Connection podcast network. We have Wrestling War Zone. That's Chad and JT. They go through the Monday Night Wars, going through WCW and Raw, Nitro and Raw every week, week by week, going through both shows. No Holds Barred is JT and Aaron. They kind of go through a potpourri of topics. They'll do some live watches. They'll do some lists. I think they're doing, like, the top 25 performers of every month as they're going through the year. Extreme Three-Way Dance is ECW. That's JT, D'Amato, and Jennifer Smith. Aaron George says the year that was, he picks us, or he went through all the pay-per-view years in WWE up till 2019, I believe. And he's just kind of going through it and going, ranking through different categories, and he ranked all the years, and he's just kind of going through it as we go. Ruthlessly Aggressive is one of my favorite podcasts. That's Jake Williams. I'll actually be on the next episode of that show. He's going through the Ruthless Aggressive era. It's kind of the 2002 to, like, 2009, I think, is kind of when it technically ends. But that's a period that I really kind of started watching every week. So that's one that really connects with me. We have TNA Never Dies. That's going through TNA. JT does a mailbag. I think it comes in connection with ours. Like, it's like the fourth Saturday after ours comes out. So it's kind of once a month, like our podcast is. Now Earning the Rumble, they're going through all the Royal Rumble entrants. Second Print Comics, Shrink Wrap, those are a couple of comics ones. Rank and File, that's a Jordan Duncan show. He does, like, a tournament based off of a list. They'll do, like, TV character stuff like that. The Gang Gets an Always Sunny podcast. That's Aaron, JT, and Josh Richard. They go through It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's a good stuff. You have This Week in the NFL and This Week in Sports. Kind of flip-flops. It's kind of This Week in Sports now because the NFL season's over.
We are I'll jump in there. We are still... We're still anxiously awaiting the first episode of This Week in Sports. We had some COVID-19 issues and then some, you know, cowboy works too much issues, but we're hoping for next week.
I gotcha. And I'll just run through a few more here. Justin Pratt, Tim Slomka, do New Gen on a Mission. That's going through the New Generation era. And then Viewer's Choice, they do a review of every pay-per-view, WWE and AEW. And they do the NXT takeovers as well. So they do, like, immediate reaction shows, and they kind of play it like they're attorneys, and one side defends, like, whether it was a good show, and one kind of decides whether it was, or he kind of defends the bad side of it, and they kind of agree at the end that one of them wins one way or the other. So that's all that we got on the NoSo feed. All of them are great shows. They're great guys, all of them that do all those shows, and they're all great listens. So check them out for sure.
Thank you very much, Logan. That's a great rundown. There's a lot of great stuff here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. We will be back in about 1 month with a review of Stuber. And in all seriousness, fans, friends, please give us your feedback and any suggestions you might have. We will say that we're probably going to stay away from the documentary genre for the time being. Just given kind of the categories we do, it doesn't really work. We could, of course, do a spinoff show at any time from the Squared Circle to the very serious television. But for now, we're sticking with the movies with acting. So, appreciate everybody. Logan, always great talking to you, my friend. It's great taking this journey through Hollywood with you. Cannot wait until next month.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Like you said, neither of us have seen the movie, so I'm looking forward to watching and talking about it with you, Roger. It was a great time, as always, and We love all the fans. Keep your suggestions coming. We will definitely take them into consideration. We might not do them very next episode or whatever, but please keep suggesting stuff, and we'll get around to it eventually, I promise.
Logan's our PR guy. He's the buffer. All right, thanks so much, everyone. Thank you, Logan. For Logan, I'm the Cowboy, and we're out of here.